All right, it is 12 September, which is Sunday. I'm Charlie Garrett, and this is the CG Report, Flipping the Narrative. That and a lot of other things to go over on today's report. Okay, we have Wednesday's report. I did a report which was posted on Rumble, and it got cut off before the end of the report. There was still another article to go, and I wanted to apologize to people that watched those, is that that was my fault. I had just flown in from a funeral in Colorado. I was really tired. I still got a report together, and I must have. The only thing I can think of is I must have hit the space bar to stop the rendering process. But when I went over and looked at the video, it said it had rendered, so it only rendered so far. I apologize, and I'll try not to do that in the future, but I was very tired on Wednesday. So there you go with that. 20 years later, yesterday was 9/11, 20 years later, the biggest threat to our society and our security is the Biden administration and the Pelosi-Schumer Congress.
Amen.
That's all there is to it. They are a threat to what's going on in our nation. Our foundational underpinnings are being destroyed by these people. Starting out today with some news from Israel, from Ynet. Israel opens Chinese-operated port in Haifa to boost regional trade links. Trump did not want this. He worked against it. They weren't going to do it. Trump is out. They're doing it. Israel has opened a new shipping port along its Mediterranean coast that will bring much-needed competition to a sector plagued by delays and boost the country's standing as a regional trade hub. The $1.7 billion bay port at Haifa, which will be operated by a Shanghai International Port Group, will enable larger classes of cargo ships carrying 18,000 containers or more to dock in Israel. The country is selling its state-owned ports and building new private docks in an effort to bring down costs and cut above-average wait times for vessels to unload. About 99% of all goods move in and out of Israel overseas, and an upgrade is needed to maintain economic growth. In other words, they're handing over 99% of every possible thing going in and out of their country to a foreign nation. Warming ties with neighboring Arab countries are also creating new trade hub opportunities for Israel, and Haifa is well placed to become a regional hub. I'm glad that they have that regional hub that the Lord blessed them with. I'm not happy about the decision they have made to give a foreign country, especially China, rights over it. Epic Times, Sweden bans travelers from Israel, one of the most vaccinated nations. Sweden became the second European Union country to ban Israel residents from entry due to a rise in COVID-19 cases in Israel, despite the country being one of the most vaccinated countries in the world. Portugal became the first EU country to ban travel from Israel due to a rise in cases. Both countries are following the EU's recommendation to remove Israel from its list of green countries. Interior Minister Mikhail Damberg told news outlets that the sharp increases in COVID-19 cases in Israel, the U.S., and other countries are the reason why they were removed from Sweden's travel ban exemption. Despite Israel's mass vaccination campaign, the virus has continued to spread. Several Israeli politicians criticized the EU's directive and Portugal's mandate. Unfortunately, following the EU's directive according to which it was decided to remove Israel from the list of green countries, the Portuguese government aligned itself with the EU's recommendation, which prohibits entry from Israel to Portugal except for justified reasons. Ite Moore, the head of Zionist NGO Over the Rainbow Portugal, told Ynet, despite Israel's successful vaccination campaign, the country is still home to a large group of unvaccinated people that have allowed the outbreak to spread. So once again, blaming the unvaccinated, it's pitting one citizen against another when there's absolutely no evidence of that and lots of evidence to the contrary. From the Epic Times, COVID-19 vaccine passport expires 6 months after second dose as booster shots are mandated, Israeli officials say. Israeli government officials said that COVID-19 vaccine passports will expire 6 months after the second Pfizer dose, meaning that people will need to receive booster shots to keep their passes valid. times of Israel. Israel's trade with Arab states has surged since 2020. Peace deals, data shows. This is all solely because Donald Trump intervened and got these deals between these nations. Trade between Israel and countries in the Middle East and North Africa has grown significantly this year. Following the Jewish state's normalization of ties with additional Arab states, in the first 7 months of 2021, trade grew by 234% compared to the same period in 2020. The statistics showed trade with the UAE surged from $50.8 million between January and July 2020 to $613.9 million in the same period in 2021. The UAE was the first of four regional states who normalized ties with Israel last year, following Egypt in 1979 and Jordan in 1994. As the only Arab nations to establish diplomatic relations with Israel, trade with Jordan has also increased this year from $136.2 million to $224.2 million, so almost double there. And trade with Egypt went from $92 million to $122.4 million. With Morocco, trade rose from $14.9 million to $20.8 million. So good stuff, at least on that front. The other, not so much. Now some news concerning the state of Christianity today. I would like to tell you that my friend Tim Kreith and the people that he gathers together with for, they have a prophecy group that they get together and they have meetings and stuff and they watch this update and a few others from people. They sent me some pizzas. Okay, they came in the mail and we had to wait about a month because I'm waiting for my son and my daughter to get together. You know, they're always working, and we got no night where they have gotten together. And finally, I said to my son, come over. We need to try this pizza. They are Tastes of Chicago, Lou Malnati's. Tastes of Chicago, Lou Malnati's. Now, he knows that, apparently, back there. I can tell you that those are some of the best pizzas I have ever had. I don't know what they cost. I have no idea. But the first thing that Hideko said when she took a bite is she said, and this is a lady that does all her own cooking. She doesn't like to eat other people's food for the most part. She said, we can order more of these. And then, of course, because Faith didn't show up because she's working, we saved a piece of each of the pizzas that we got. And my son said, she won't like these. I'm just going to go ahead and eat them now. And I said, you touch those and I'll break your fingers. So they are really, really good. I wanted to thank the prophecy group that meets with Tim. Thank all of you for sending those because that was a real treat. And apparently we're going to be ordering more. So there you go. Another thing is that we have starting next week, late next week or early the week after. I'm not sure the exact date. We will finish the Revelation commentary. It's taken 304 days to get through it. I actually started the introduction to Acts yesterday, and I did a second introduction to Acts today. We will be starting the Book of Acts commentary. If you want to know where your doctrine is wrong, read that Acts commentary that we're going to be doing. 99.82765% of all error within the Christian church is found because of a misapplication and a misunderstanding of the book of Acts. Why are there charismatics? Why are there hyper-dispensationalists? Why are there this and why are there that? Why does the Church of Christ say that if you don't repent and be baptized, you won't be saved, you won't receive the Holy Spirit? It's a misapplication of the book of Acts. Pay attention to that study. I encourage you to follow along with it. I post it once a day on the Superior Word website. Like I say, it'll start, I think, in about 10 days. And you will be, I am certain, you will learn more than you thought you knew when you understand why the book of Acts has been misapplied by your church and by the churches you've attended in the past. And it will be a great help to you. Once again, the book of Acts, it is a foundational book to understand and to know and to also know where doctrine is either correct or incorrect, the book of Acts. So please participate in those studies. It'll be starting in about a week. Revelation will be finishing. I think I posted, 21:12 today, something like that. So a couple more verses and we'll be done. One more thing. Congratulations to Marina Jansen. She's over in Perth, Australia. She finished the Genesis sermons. Very proud of her for that. She said she wants to watch them again now that she has a TV instead of just a little handheld thing. I encourage everybody to stop watching 15,322 prophecy updates every week. Cut out at least 15,320, one of them. Keep the superior word, and then start watching these sermons. You will actually get doctrine instead of having your ears tickled. So please do that. From Sight, California, L.A. County, both to pay U.S. $400,000. That means $400,000 and $400,000? Anybody? $800,000 settlement to John MacArthur's church. Yes. The L.A. County Board of Supervisors voted to authorize a $400,000 payment to settle a legal battle with Grace Community Church over lead pastor John MacArthur's defiance of COVID-19 restrictions in the early months of the pandemic. Now, whether you agree with John MacArthur on all of his points of doctrine or not, you shouldn't, because he's got some that are wrong. He stood up for the rights of Christians, and he is being rewarded by that, and I'm very proud of this man for what he has done. Under the agreement, which the board unanimously approved without discussion, the state of California will also pay the church $400,000. This agreement was reached in the context of the U.S. Supreme Court's decision in February that told California it could not enforce a ban on indoor worship because of the coronavirus pandemic. L.A. County modified its health order and lifted the indoor worship ban after the ruling. The decision also comes just days after MacArthur confirmed he and his wife had contracted COVID-19 last winter. MacArthur also said many people contracted the coronavirus, adding it probably went through our church in maybe December or January. Patricia and I enjoyed our own bout with COVID for about a week and a half, said MacArthur, who was absent from the pulpit late December. MacArthur on Sunday said the settlement money would go to the Thomas More Society, which represented the church in this court case. That's a wonderful decision of theirs. We're going to give it to these people so they can defend other Christians' rights. From the Christian Post, over 2,500 church leaders urge Australia's Prime Minister not to mandate vaccine passports. I would not have expected this. 2,500 churches in Australia got together. Nearly 2,500 church leaders from different denominations in Australia are urging Prime Minister Morrison not to implement vaccine passports in the country, warning that it would create an unethical two-tiered society and medical apartheid. The proposed introduction of vaccine passports into Australian society is, for many Christian leaders and Christians, an untenable proposal that would inflict terrible consequences on our nation, reads an open letter to Morrison, composed by three pastors from Baptist churches and signed by church leaders from across the country. While the Australian Prime Minister supports the proposal for vaccine passports, the federal government hasn't implemented it, but it is allowing state governments and businesses to implement it if they choose to. Called the Ezekiel Declaration, the letter states that the government risks creating an unethical two-tiered society, explaining that while some individuals will receive the vaccination with thanks, others may have good and informed reasons for declining. Free citizens should have the right of consent, especially when the vaccine rollout has been labeled as a clinical trial. Following a series of lockdowns to now requiring a proposed vaccine passport in order to live a normal life, the government is putting immeasurable pressures on ordinary people, it adds, noting that studies have found that lockdowns have resulted in the rise of people contemplating suicide. It's also a matter of people's conscience, it continued. The conscience is the immediate contact of God's presence in a person's soul. And so an individual forced to act in a way that is objectionable to their conscience will never be at peace, either before God or before the state. The church leaders further reason that making vaccination the basis of participating in normal life would make no logical sense in terms of protecting others. Very proud of those people. Some news from the Mideast and Africa today. Okay, before we get into our first article, I would like you, if you have time, to listen to it. It's about 23 minutes long, maybe 30 minutes long. It's Afghanistan Through the Lens of Ezekiel 38 and the Comfort of Isaiah. You can find this at BibleIn10.com, BibleIn10.com. Okay, BibleIn10.com. This is my friend Daniel over in the UK. He does a podcast once a month, and instead of continuing with Genesis, he decided to do this month. Afghanistan Through the Lens of Ezekiel 38 and the Comfort of Isaiah. Very well done. Please listen to it. It's a podcast. It's not something you watch, you listen to. Okay, from GB News, New Zealand extremist who stabbed six was released by judge despite warnings. They have a Muslim over there that they said, do not let this person out into the society. The judge decided to not listen to the specialists, and this person went and stabbed six people. The Muslim, who went on a stabbing spree in New Zealand, was released by a judge despite a court report warning that he posed a high risk to the community. The report described the man as harboring extreme attitudes, living an isolated lifestyle, and having a sense of entitlement. Must be a Democrat, too. However, a judge's job in July was to sentence the man for the relatively minor crimes he committed at that time, not for potential future crimes. She decided to release him under the supervision of a mosque leader who promised to try and help the man who was inspired by ISIS. From Reuters, New Zealand supermarkets. Here's their response to this guy stabbing six people. They take knives off shelves after extremist stabbing. It's just like the UK. We're banning knives because we have people that are stabbing people. Instead of taking care of the problem, they cause everybody else more problems. New Zealand supermarket group Countdown said it has removed knives and scissors from its shelves a day after a man the authorities called an Islamist extremist stabbed six people in one of the company's stores. Last night, we made the decision to temporarily remove all knives and scissors from our shelves while we consider whether we should continue to sell them. Other supermarket chains had also removed sharp knives from sale. So you can't get any sharp knives in New Zealand anymore, folks. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. What these are all lefties, and these lefties cannot make a right decision. I do not know one decision that the left has made in many, many years, not one that I think is morally correct or that makes any sense at all. Not one. And I don't care what country you're in. None of them. As a matter of fact, I would go so far as to say that the decisions made by the left in our nation right now aren't just immoral. They are wicked. Absolutely wicked decisions. Jerusalem Post. Egypt has destroyed more than 3,000 tunnels along its border with the Gaza Strip in the past 6 years. I had no idea. Three Palestinians died on Thursday as the Egyptian military pumped toxic gas into a smuggling tunnel. This is how you get rid of these people. The tunnel stretches from... Now, if Israel did this, the entire world would right now be protesting them, cutting off any trade with them, etc. Egypt just does it. Nobody says anything. But I don't disagree with what they did, okay, at all. The tunnel stretches from the Gaza Strip to the Sinai Peninsula. In 2019, two Palestinians died and several others wounded after Egyptian troops pumped toxic fumes into a smuggling tunnel stretching into the Sinai Peninsula from the Gaza Strip. In February 2017, three Palestinians were killed in a tunnel between Gaza and Sinai in similar circumstances. So this isn't just one time. They've done this three and four times. And the Palestinians just can't seem to learn. They can't seem to learn. Egypt has destroyed more than 3,000 tunnels along its border with the Gaza Strip in the past 6 years. Egyptian Army spokesperson Tamer al-Rifai said in 2020, the tunnels were used to threaten Egypt's national security, including the infiltration of terrorists, smuggling of weapons, ammunition, goods, narcotic drugs, and vehicles. The Egyptian security forces were continuing their heroic actions to defeat terrorists in the Sinai Peninsula. Once again, if Israel did that, it would have been a completely different worldwide response. I haven't ever even heard of this, or anybody even talking about it, but I support them. Sir Hedge. What's that?
Pest control.
I was going to say that, but then it went out of my mind. So you, yes. Zero Hedge. Viktor Orban. Migration must be stopped. Hungarian Prime Minister Viktor Orban told a forum of leaders in the Slovenia area that migration must be stopped in order to preserve Europe's cultural heritage. Orban asserted that mass migration from Muslim countries was not a reasonable solution to the continent's demographic decline. We do not need outsiders because they are changing the composition of European cultures and societies. The cultural image of Europe, the Christian family-based system, Orban said, noting that the overwhelming majority of migrants were Muslim. Highlighting how mass migration leads to social dislocation, rising crime, and terrorism, Orban stated plainly, migration must be stopped. Orban has repeatedly warned that Europe's native population decline is a sickness and that population replacement by a mass migration represents demographic suicide. I love this guy. Every time I've reported on him, it's been something like this. The Hungarian leader also said during the forum that the takeover of Afghanistan by the Taliban means another mass migration crisis is looming.
Yes.
Times of Israel. Raisi, Iran ready to resume nuclear talks, but without Western pressure. So once again, they're calling the shots. The Westerners and the Americans are after talks together with pressure. What kind of talk is that? I've already announced that we will have talks on our government's agenda, but not with pressure. He added that talks are on the agenda. We are seeking goal-oriented negotiations. So unjust sanctions on the Iranian people are lifted and their lives can flourish, and so that we can resume normal terrorist activities. Okay, he didn't say that. Breitbart. Taliban paints over George Floyd mural in Kabul with victory slogans. From the Times of Israel, Blinken says the Taliban will have to earn its legitimacy. I think they just did with the action I just read about. Can you imagine our embassy having George Floyd mural on its wall?
Oh, yeah.
That's how the Taliban has earned its legitimacy in my eyes.
Yeah.
As we span the globe, we try to never miss something interesting from Mongolia. From France 2-4, Mongolian pupils go back to school and end long education exile. And I mean, this has been a long one. Mongolia's children mark the end of grinding months of exile from education. The country of 3 million has taken some of the world's toughest and most enduring measures against the COVID-19 pandemic, which, as you know, did not work, everybody, right? Shutting schools and kindergartens since January 2020 and plunging children into a purgatory of remote learning with patchy access to technology. Nearly two-thirds of the population has been fully vaccinated, yet Mongolia reported 3,726 new virus cases on Wednesday alone. They've had this day after day after day, the highest daily increase since the pandemic hit the country. The more they vaccinate, the higher their numbers keep going. Nobody can seem to figure out that this is not working.
Yeah.
Israel was the test case. They failed. Let's try it, and we'll work it out this time. Sounds just like socialists.
Kind of like communism.
Exactly. Exactly. Still, masked students in blazers filed into a primary school in the capital, Ulaanbaatar, where classrooms were kitted out with temperature monitors, hand sanitizer, and social distancing stickers. Okay, the book of Daniel prophesied that technology would increase in the end times. What's up in that regard? From Fox, Department of Energy, Hewlett-Packard Enterprises unveils Polaris supercomputer. This is a big one. Argonne unveiled Polaris. Now, Argonne is the name of their supercomputer that goes all the way back. They've just given it a new Argonne, so they have them back in the 50s. But this is one big one that's out there now. They unveiled Polaris, a testbed supercomputer made up of 280 of Hewlett-Packard's Enterprise's Apollo Generation 10 Plus systems and powered by 2,240 of NVIDIA's A100 Tensor Core graphics processing units and 560 of AMD's second and third generation EPYC processors. Polaris is expected to deliver approximately 44 petaflops of peak double precision performance and almost 1.4 exoflops of theoretical AI performance, up to four times faster performance than Argonne's current supercomputers. A single exaflop is equal to 1 quadrillion calculations per second, or 1,000 petaflops. A single petaflop is equal to 1 quadrillion calculations per second. The machine will enable scientists and developers to test and optimize software codes and applications that will be used by Intel's $500 million Aurora supercomputer for a range of scientific projects, from advancing cancer treatments and the nation's energy security to expanding the boundaries of physics with particle collision research. In addition to Polaris, AMD will help power the National Nuclear Security Admin's $600 million El Capitan Laboratory in early 2023. El Capitan is expected to be the world's fastest exascale computer, producing record-breaking speed of 2 exaflops, 10 times faster than the current most powerful supercomputer. That's a lot of brain pan there, I'll tell you. Wow. Okay, it's a dangerous world, including the inevitable plagues the book of Revelation prophesies of. Let's see how that's developing. From Zero Hedge. California nurse shortage reaches crisis level as vaccine mandate wards off traveling nurses. Do any of you know about traveling nurses? These are nurses that just go from place to place, and they do this yearly based on how many people are in Florida. We got lots more during the winter than the summer. And they travel, and they make a lot of money, and they fill in when needed, and they get to see the world while they're doing it. They're not going to California anymore. As America's hospital beds have again filled with sick COVID patients, we need more vaccines to correct that, nurses and other healthcare workers have been quitting at the fastest rate since the early days of the pandemic. When nurses in some New York City hospitals were using garbage bags instead of PPE, according to a story published by a newspaper in Bakersfield, in the past month, no fewer than 4 emergency room nurses have quit at 1 Eureka hospital. And aside from the burnout and the pressure and the stress, nurses have also cited California's mandatory vaccination rule as one reason they're thinking about leaving the state. Traveling nurses have been turning down assignments in the Golden State at record rates because they don't want to get vaccinated and the mandate hasn't even taken effect yet. The state's testing requirement imposed last week already has discouraged some of out-of-state traveling nurses from taking temporary jobs at California hospitals. If they don't want to get vaccinated, they are turning down California assignments. Now, we all know what Biden did in the past couple days as far as signing this law that says everybody in the whole universe has to have a vaccine, you have no choice, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, they know what they are doing. And I'm going to tell you what it is. I was talking with Ron this morning, and I said, I know what's going on. And before I had a chance to say it, Shannon said exactly what is going on as far as this is concerned. Obama failed to take over to nationalize our health care system. They know that they are going to cause these people to quit and not be refilled, and they cannot support the health care system without these people. And so they are going to do what Obama failed to do. They are going to nationalize our health care system. This is 1/3 of the national economy. And I am certain that this is what they are trying to do. Okay, all of these suits are going to come in from governors, and this is all going to be in the courts forever. But in the meantime, these states like this and the people that are being forced by these rules to make a decision are going to quit, and they're going to have a national health care crisis, and they are going to come in, and they're going to do what? Remember what Reagan did during the 80s when the flight controllers all said we're going to walk out? And he said, go ahead. So he nationalized the flight controllers. Well, that was the right thing to do. What they're doing here is the wicked, demonic thing to do, destroying the finest healthcare, or what used to be the finest healthcare system in the world before Obama got a hold of it. And they're going to continue to destroy it, and they're going to take all of that revenue, and they're going to funnel it over to their people that will get them reelected. This is exactly what's going on in this nation, and if anybody doubts that, then I think you're wrong, because I am certain I'm right. From the Western Journal. Fed up school board throws out superintendent after he enforces state mask mandate. And that's what we need to do right here in Sarasota County. We need to get in there and vote these people out. Get them out. Yeah. Epic Times, federal judge dismisses jurors who haven't got COVID-19 vaccines. Woohoo! I don't need to do any federal jury duty. Mail Online, fully vaccinated Oscar de la Hoya, 48, is hospitalized with COVID and pulls out of his comeback fight against Vitor Belfort. Okay, next one. VidMax, double vaccinated Oscar de la Hoya wonders out loud from his hospital bed, what are the chances of me getting COVID? I'd say they're pretty good. From Fox, more than 140,000 French citizens protest against health pass for 8th straight weekend. This was last weekend. I bet you they did today, and that makes 9. We'll know tomorrow, we'll know in the news tomorrow. From the Epic Times, UK may give healthy 12 to 15-year-olds COVID vaccine despite scientific evidence. The UK government is yet to decide whether to offer the Pfizer-BioNTech COVID-19 vaccine to all 12 to 15-year-olds, Vaccines Minister Zahawi said. If you want to know why that's a bad idea, Watch the Wednesday CG report that I did. Go back and watch that, and you'll understand why that's a very bad idea. Okay? Zero Hedge. House of Lords member asked why Brits are forced to take PCR COVID tests on returning to the United Kingdom, but illegal migrants aren't. Same thing as the U.S., folks. This is an agenda, has nothing to do with COVID. Zero. Okay? Zero. Breitbart. Italian Prime Minister suggests mandatory vaccinations for incoming illegals. He'll probably get fired for that one. Breitbart. Migrants refusing coronavirus tests to avoid deportation from Italy. I'm not taking that test, and so they can't get rid of these people. Illegal migrants in Italy are refusing to undergo coronavirus tests to avoid being deported because they won't be put on a flight without the test. Zero Hedge. Medical drones deployed over Italian beaches search for feverish people. From Red Voice. Healthcare crisis looms as 6,000 hospital workers suspended for not getting jabbed. This is in Greece. In Greece, close to 6,000, and that's a little country, folks, 6,000 hospital workers have been suspended for refusing to get the vaccine. The Greek Ministry of Health has stated that 5,895 hospital workers are currently suspended indefinitely. However, on Thursday, the Greek government announced that they would give hospital workers a second chance to get vaccinated and have their jobs reinstated. Let's see, I could die from getting the shot, or I could die from getting COVID, or maybe not. I'd rather go this way. That's just my choice. From the American Medical Association. Now, after I read this, I'm going to read you another article, so get ready, okay? From the American Medical Association, AMA, APHA, and ASHP statement on ending use of ivermectin to treat COVID-19. Okay? Remember this. Epic Times from May 12th. AMA embraces critical race theory and rejects meritocracy. Why would anybody listen to them on their decision about ivermectin when they can't even get a normal, moral thinking decision on critical race theory and meritocracy? You no longer have to merit anything. What's that?
It's out of their wheelhouse.
It's out of their wheelhouse. Yeah, well, we have to face their decisions. That's the problem. Okay, from Roseville Today, California's 10 largest reservoirs, drought status. The latest drought updates and status of California's 10 largest reservoirs as deadly floods inundate major sections of the southeast and east coast. Bone-dry conditions and raging wildfires persist throughout California and the West. Cities throughout California have tightened water restrictions in an effort to navigate extreme drought. Communities such as Roseville and Folsom have mandated 20% cutbacks, while in Mendocino County, wells have run dry as the community is forced to import water by the truckload. With the exception of the Don Pedro Reservoir, all California's reservoirs have fallen well below 50% capacity. Stark signs of drought fatigue are everywhere, with the wet season still months away.
Desalinization.
Yep. The state of morality is declining. Here's some news on that. From Resist. Catholic University professor teaches white people committing suicide can be an ethical act. A professor employed at a Catholic university in Pennsylvania said on camera that there are merits to the claim that it's ethical for white people to commit suicide. One of my brother's professors, when he went to college right here in Florida, this is years ago, 20-some years ago, said this. It would be better world without people, he said. Then I said, next time you go to class, I want you to hand him your gun, and I want you to tell him to start with yourself. Okay? You start, because this is a white guy here. This is a white guy that's saying this. So somebody, I'll do it. I'll send him an email, and I'll tell him that he can start with himself to set the example for everybody else. How's that? Okay, let's go on. White people should commit suicide as an ethical act, said in a quote in a slide for a presentation hosted by Duquesne University psychology professor Derek Hook. In the lecture, which was presented to Baltimore-based American Association for Psychoanalysis and Clinical Social Work in June, Hook quoted a South African philosophy professor who was written about white people committing suicide in South Africa. Before further discussing the comments and arguing there was something ethical in Delport's statements, The reality is that most white people spend their whole lives only engaging black people in subservient positions. My question is then, how can a person not be racist if that's the way they live their lives? The only way for white people to become part of Africa is to not exist as white people anymore. This guy is as white as rice.
Promoting blackface.
Yeah, he's promoting blackface. That's what he's doing. Listen, this guy, somebody needs to, I will do it. I will send him an email and tell him he can set the example. Go ahead and you be the example, and I'm sure many will follow after you.
Yep.
From Breitbart, UK children being given antidepressants in record numbers up 22% in 5 years. Mail online, serial New York City pervert who has been caught doing something in front of children 5 times in front of kids keeps on getting freed thanks to Bill de Blasio's lax bill reform laws. You can go out in the street and do something pervert in front of kids and they just let you out. No charge, nothing. Some other news from around the world. And as I say each week, please be sure to check out the Superior Word sermons. You will do yourself a favor if you go back and start with Genesis 1 and work all the way through all of them. It'll take you a couple years, but you will benefit. From Zero Hedge, DHS, CNN scramble to flip Biden Afghanistan narrative back to domestic white supremacist threat. President Biden has a disastrous August. His poll numbers tumbled to their lowest point of his presidency. And much of that had to do with the chaotic withdrawal from Afghanistan. In a bid to recapture the narrative and distract the minds of Americans from the Afghan farce, the Biden admin and liberal media appear to be attempting to shift the focus to who they believe the real enemy is. White supremacists and anti-government extremists have expressed admiration for what the Taliban accomplished, a worrying development for U.S. officials who have been grappling with the threat of domestic violent extremists, CNN reported. That is completely untrue. I don't know one person on any side of the aisle that, except the left that is saying, hey, the Taliban did a great thing. We're all behind you there. For weeks, Americans on both sides of the political spectrum were shocked by the images coming out of Kabul airport, resembling the fall of Saigon in 1975. Nearly 100 retired generals and admirals have demanded Secretary of Defense and former Raytheon board member Lloyd Austin and chairman of the JCS Mark Milley resign immediately over the botched Afghanistan withdrawal by the Biden admin. All of which has prompted the White House and liberal media to find a way to come together again to remind Americans that far-right groups are the real enemy. Just before I finish this, just yesterday, George Bush, that dolt, got up there and said exactly that. He compared the terrorists in the Afghanistan area and around the world with MAGA people. Okay? George Bush was a crummy president. I was behind him the first year, and I was like, this guy is going to change things. And he turned it by the third year. I was so sick of that guy, I didn't ever want to see him again. He was a terrible president.
He's a globalist.
Okay, we'll go on. John Cohen of the Office of Intelligence and Analysis at the DHS was on a conference call with various law enforcement agencies and warned that white supremacist groups were framing the activities of the Taliban as a success. That's not true. I know that's not true. Cohen warned about the great replacement concept theory that white supremacist groups believe they're losing control of the country as immigrants from other countries, including Afghanistan, came in by the thousands. There are concerns that those narratives may incite violent activities directed at immigrant communities, certain faith communities, or even those who are relocated into the United States. CNN continued to hype the far-right extremist threat by citing a story from Site Intelligence Group, an NGO run by professional extremist tracker Rita Katz. Katz warned that far-right group Proud Boys allegedly said these farmers and minimally trained men fought to take back their nation from Globo Homo. They took back their government, installed their national religion as well, and executed dissenters. If white men in the West had the same courage as the Taliban, we would not be ruled by Jews currently. What the liberal media is doing is clear. They're shielding Biden from the withdrawal debacle while attempting to change the narrative because presidential polling data is slumping ahead of the midterms. The goal is to refocus the masses once again on domestic white terrorists at home, which, are a reminder, are the greatest threat to democracy, according to the Biden admin. From the Activist Post, 90 school bus drivers from the same district quit. The rush of resignations was likely driven by the vaccination requirements. Chicago's new COVID-19 vaccine requirement has prompted a lot of school bus drivers to quit. Chicago Public, you're making what, $7 an hour driving those school buses? It ain't worth your life, folks. Chicago Public Schools said Sunday that 90 bus drivers quit between August 23 and 27. About 70 of those drivers quit on the same day. Mail online. Children aged 6 to 11 in Britain speak to their Alexa, Siri, or Google Nest more than their grandparents, new poll finds. As survey also reveals, nearly half have a social media account, despite Facebook, TikTok, and Instagram banning under 13s. Yep. Mail online. Man who was found not guilty by reason of insanity, an attack on two women, is detained in killing of female Chase employee stabbed in the neck at Chicago Bank. All these, where are the people's rights in New York and in Chicago and in these liberal cities? Where are their rights? They let them out. They just let them go. They go out and they kill somebody. What about the rights of that person that's lying there dead with a knife sticking out of their neck? Zero Hedge. Facebook apologizes after labeling black men as primates.
What?
Yeah. Anybody see what happened to Larry Elder in California?
Yeah.
A white woman with a gorilla mask went up and started yelling at him and throwing eggs at him, and the media is completely silent over that. I'm telling you what, if somebody did that to Kamala Harris, Kamala Lama, ding dong, I'm going to tell you what, that would be on the front of the news forever and forever. It would never end. But you can do that to Larry Elder, and it makes no difference at all.
Make a campaign out of it.
Yeah, he ought to make a campaign out of it. That's exactly right. Okay, from ESPN. Oh, wait a minute, I've got one more. USA Today. China bans sissy men from TV to encourage more masculinity in young men. Ooh. And the left goes crazy. From ESPN, NFL brings back social justice helmet decals, end zone stencils as part of Inspire Change platform. NFL players can wear social justice messages on their helmets again this season, and It Takes All of Us and End Racism will be stenciled in end zones for the second straight year as part of the league's Inspire Change platform. These are communists, and anybody that watches the NFL, I'm not your friend, okay? I don't like you anymore. I'm so upset with what's going on in this nation, and people are still watching these things and still supporting them, giving them ad revenue. These people ought to just be bankrupt and gone out of our society completely. Okay, I don't really hate you. I didn't say that anyway. I said I just don't want to be your friend anymore. So, okay. Epic Times. 58 shot, including 7 children in Chicago over Labor Day weekend. 58 shot, including 7 children. Now listen to this. Mail online. More children have been shot in Chicago this year than the total number of those who have died from COVID-19 nationwide. And guess what? The statistics on COVID-19 have never gone away. In the past, flu seasons come and they go, and they start a new flu season. They have not done that. They just keep saying more and more people have died, okay? The entire time that we have had COVID in this nation, fewer children have died from it than have died by being shot in Chicago alone. 95 had comorbid disorders. So that tells you that the chances of a child dying of this are almost zero. They're almost zero, unless they have something already wrong with them. Okay? And yet, they can't highlight this on the main news. It's unbelievable. Okay, got a lesser here for you. California can no more restrict those who strive to both bless and convict. All, please listen to me. You can now worship free. That's what happens when you get God ticked. Okay, who said it? True humility is not thinking less of yourself. It is thinking of yourself less.
That's good. That's a good one. I like that.
Anybody? C.S. Lewis. Okay, before we get into our final irony section, we have a brand new Sergio and Rhoda in Israel video out. It's on the town of Micah. Okay, Micah the prophet and the town where he's at, there is something really cool about where he lived. It is exceptional. Please watch that video. If you've never watched them before, watch theirs today and then start watching all of them. You'll get addicted. They do a marvelous job. Okay, Sergio and Rhoda in Israel, brand new video, Micah. Okay, I saw it like a month ago because I get to check them for quality before they get published. But it came out today. This is their first one of the season. Okay, irony. Zero Hedge. 24-year-old arrested for fake vaccine card claiming jab from Moderna. He spelled it wrong, so he's going to jail for a while. Such is the world in which we live. So from Sarasota, Florida to Ulaanbaatar, Mongolia, I'm Charlie Garrett, and that is your CG report for the week.